It's now time for the Spirit Mornings Good Book Club on Spirit Catholic Radio. As we open the Bible, let us learn how God's Word can provide comfort.
While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign.
The one I shall kiss is the man. Seize him.
And he came up to Jesus at once and said,
Hail, Master.
And he kissed him.
Friend, why are you here?
Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear.
Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.
Then all of the disciples forsook him and fled.
Truth and Life Dramatized Audio Bible Version, Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 to 56. Good Book Club is on the air. The Bibles are open. We're ready to go. I'm Bruce McGregor, along with Jen Brown and the Dynamic Deacon, joining us to discuss these very evocative verses today, Jen. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Deacon, welcome back to the Good Book Club. Always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you. And a lot warmer than you guys. One, holy cow.
Yeah, yes. One below.
We are bundled up here in the studio, ready to talk about the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. And then where it takes place, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, that's important, at the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes, Gethsemane in Hebrew means olive press. You know, so in order to extract the oil from the olive has to be crushed, right? And so now we see here on this Holy Thursday evening, the start of the Triduum, you know, the Jesus is about to be crushed, right? And just as that olive, you know, provides the olive oil, Lord is going to be crushed on the cross, and that blood that flows from the cross is going to give life to the church. You know, so that this all starts that process right here in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right. And Deacon, I know you pointed out that Psalm 41, verses 6 to 9 have some real relevance to what we're going to experience with our Lord in these verses, these very powerful verses.
Yeah, you know, one thing about praying the Psalms for as many years as I have, you know, as a Benedictine and then now as a deacon that prays the Liturgy of the Hours every day and the full office, including the office of readings, you know, you start to see, parallels in the Old and New Testament, especially in the Psalms. And this one says, you know, you think about what's happening in the gospel today. My foes are speaking evil against me. When someone comes to visit me, he speaks empty words. His heart stores up malice. All my foes whisper together against me. They devise evil plots against me. Thus, my friend, even whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. So what just happened? They just had the Last Supper, right? And Judas was there, and he ate the bread of life. And then he went and lifted his heel against him. He betrayed him. You know, so here we have another beautiful example from the Psalms that are foreshadowing the events that are happening in the gospel today. We even see it from Job. Chapter 19, verse 19, you know, all my intimate friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me. You know, so we see this, you know, this allegorical reading of the scriptures where we see, you know, the life of Jesus foreshadowed in the Old Testament. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. This betrayal and arrest of Jesus that is taking place in this chapter of Matthew 26. these verses, there is a betrayal with a kiss. Can you explain to us what that is in the time of Jesus?
So a kiss is a sign of friendship, kind of like a handshake today. And in fact, if you go to Europe, like Italy, hi, hello, great to meet you. And they do that kind of kiss on both sides of the face.
Right.
That goes all the way back to the time of Jesus. And we see a foreshadowing of this in Proverbs 27, verse 6. You know, since faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You know, so yeah. Again, we see this, the enemy providing a kiss foreshadowed what we see here. And what's interesting, Jesus also asks, you know, why are you here? And Judas never answers, you know. And I think what Jesus is doing, he's trying to have Judas realize, why are you here? You know, well, of course, I'm here to betray you. No, but he wants him to look deeper. And, you know, what we just heard in the reading, mm-hmm. you know, you hear the angst in Jesus' mm-hmm. voice. Friend, why are you here? He really wants him to look deeply within his own soul and to understand what he's about to do.
Right. And then we have, of course, the very powerful verses where they seize Jesus, and one of those who were with him stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus had some words for that as well. But let's look at this sword in verse 52 and how this all plays into why Jesus is here, Deacon.
So why does Jesus react the way that he does? Because let me think about it. Peter's just trying to defend him, you know. But Jesus must fulfill the Father's plan of salvation. That's why he rebukes Peter for trying to obfuscate God's will by resorting to violence. You know, the sword that Jesus is bringing is the sword of objective truth, right? Jesus comes to bring a heavenly, not a secular kingdom that Judas was looking for. Remember, Judas was one of the people that were looking for a military leader to overthrow the government, overthrow the Romans, and you know, so Israel could take back what was rightfully theirs. And when Judas didn't see that happening, because this isn't the guy, he's wasting our time, so he decides to betray him. So the sword of truth is what frees us to love as God loves, not the sword of the culture. So the sword that Jesus yields doesn't cut through skin or bone, you know, or corrupt earthly regimes. The sword that Jesus brings cuts through hardened hearts, right, and confused consciences. And Jesus says that violence is not a solution to injustice, because the sword of life is going to conquer death.
We have heard things described. We've heard the word of God, the truth, the capital W word of God, described as a sharper than any two-edged sword that can cut through anything and pierce your heart.
Yeah, it's exactly right, because it cuts through all the sin and division and everything within us that separates us from God's love. That's the sword that Jesus came to bring, to cut sin out of our lives so we can completely open to receiving that everything that God wants to give us.
And going back to then that question of what he said to Judas, why are you here? Like, we need to take a little moment to reflect on that, a little lexio with that, and ask ourselves, like, why are we here when we are in the middle of sin or in the middle of betraying Jesus? And why are we here? Let's reflect on that and let's turn back to Jesus. Let's not move away from Jesus. Let's turn towards the sword that wants to cut sin out of our lives and be closer to Jesus.
Yeah, amen. I mean, especially now, you know, when people are still in a lot of places struggling to come back to church after more than a year away because of COVID. You know, why am I here? Am I here just to punch the clock on Sunday? Or am I here so that God can fulfill in me, as weak and as sinful as I am, that God can use me for his glory, that God can use me as a witness of his love to the world? And so we should be asking ourselves, why are we here? Why am I Catholic? Why do I believe what I believe? And these are the deep questions that only a deep, intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ can answer.
Right. And our Lord says to Peter and all those listening, you know, do you think that I could not appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then should Scripture be fulfilled that it must be so? Our Lord, knowing that this must be so, and numbers are important when we get them scripturally, Deacon. Let's talk about 12 legion of angels. We're talking about a lot of angels here.
Yeah, so 12 legions of angels. So a legion was about 6,000 soldiers.
Wow.
In the time of Christ for the Romans. So it's Jesus saying it's not God's will to dispatch angelic armies to save Jesus from sinners, right? So Jesus' suffering and death are essential to God's plan for redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Jesus doesn't need help,
right?
In fulfilling the Father's plan. Again, it's not a military, it's not a military thing that Jesus is doing. He's coming to conquer not the Romans, but to conquer sin and death. And he doesn't need help, right? So
yeah.
So he rebukes Peter and then explains that, you know, I'm God. You know, I can call down there and get this thing done right now, but I have to fulfill the Father's will. And that's something that we all have to do. So we're going through something difficult in our lives, and we call on God for help. You know, we realize that God is there, always there, always loving us and always waiting to make his love more complete and more full in our lives if we're open to receiving it in our own hearts.
You write many books, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, about the Old Testament and Old Testament being fulfilled in the New Testament. And when you read scriptures from Zechariah about how this all works together so well with what Zechariah had to say about the sword and striking down the shepherd.
Yeah, in Zechariah 13:7, it says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep may be scattered." Right? So when they go to capture Jesus, everybody runs away. Right?
Yeah.
And he talks about the sword against the shepherd. So there's the sword, and he cuts off the ear. So it's, again, striking. And there's another one. It's actually 2 Samuel chapter 17, which is really interesting. Now, this is the part where David's son Absalom is trying to overthrow his father and take over the kingdom. And so there's a guy named Ahithophel who works with Absalom. So he says, Ahithophel says to Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men," mm-hmm. right? So that's two legions mm-hmm. of angels that Jesus was talking about. So 12,000 men, "and I will set out and pursue David tonight." So again, it was evening at night when Judas went after Jesus. He says, "I will come upon him while he is weary." So he was going to attack David while he was weary. What was Jesus doing? He was praying and he was sweating blood because he was anxious, right? And throw him into a panic, and all the people who are with him will flee. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. He goes, "I will strike down the king only." Right, so only Jesus was taken. Not the other. The apostles fled because they thought maybe they're going to get us too.
Yeah.
But they only went after Jesus. And then finally, "You seek the life of only one man, and all will be at peace." That's exactly the deal that Judas made. And here's the kicker: when the plan didn't work, Ahithophel hung himself.
Oh wow!
And look what happened with Judas.
Yeah.
He hung himself.
And that was from Samuel. That you were quoting.
Yeah, 2 Samuel 17, verses 1 to 4, and then verse 17.
And David would be a typology of Jesus.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So to me, this is clearly one of the scriptures that Jesus was referring to. And then finally, he says, "All the disciples deserted him and fled." So I think the question we, again, need to ask, when life becomes difficult, do we run away from Jesus? You know? I mean, but sometimes that's a normal human reaction, isn't it? You know, why did my wife die of cancer? Why was my mother killed in that car accident by a drunk driver? You know, and you get angry. God, why? You're supposed to be a God of love. Why'd you allow this to happen? I'll show you. I'll stop going to church. I'll stop practicing. And we have this anger reaction. So do we run away from Jesus when things are very difficult? And again, understandable, normal human reaction. But ultimately, Jesus is always always is with us. He never takes his love from us. So as hard as it may be, we need to turn toward him because he is our peace.
I'm going to tell the same story I said yesterday, just in case somebody didn't get a chance to hear it, because it rings so true with this. At the end of a prayer that I was reading, a reflection that I was reading. It's told this story about a woman who had to cross a bridge, and it was going to be a very difficult task for her. A lot of obstacles in this bridge. And she said, God, may I hold your hand in crossing this bridge? And God said, no. And she said, why? And he said, I will hold your hand. And she was confused. And he said, if you hold my hand, when things get difficult, you will let go. But if I hold your hand, I will never let go. I am always with you.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great. I love that.
Yep.
I don't think we can hear that enough. Like,
so true.
He is always with us. We let go. We let go of God, as you said, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Yeah, and there's a real deep element of trust that has to be there, you know, to trust God totally and completely, to let go of our fear, to let go of our anger, you know, because God wants to fill us with his love, but he can't do that when our hearts are filled with hate, you know, and so we have to really turn back and trust God. And sometimes maybe just little things will help. I remember I was going through something really difficult, and the only thing that would come into my heart at that time was, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I give my life to you. Just three simple things that reminded me that despite everything going on, God still loves me totally, completely, and unconditionally.
Yeah, Deacon, that is the essence of the word faith. And having faith and trust means 100%. Don't back away from things just because some obstacles rear their ugly side, or you know, whatever might come about. You need to have that faith, you need to have that trust, and unflagging. That's what we got to try for.
No, absolutely. And again, it's just this, never give up hope, you know. You know, one of the beautiful things is that, you know, there's Mary at the foot of the cross, and they're watching her only son suffer and die.
Yeah.
You know, and it says there that her was predicted in the Gospels, with Simeon, that her heart would be torn open, her soul would be torn open, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be laid there. So sometimes what will help us through this is to lay our hearts, our broken and bruised hearts, next to the immaculate heart of our Blessed Mother, as a way of helping us get through. Because, you know, she always leads us to her son.
To her son, to yeah. Jesus. Mary always leading us to Jesus. Never forget that when you have a problem with Catholics and what they think of Mary, know this. What I think of Mary is she leads me to her son.
Yeah.
That's what I think of Mary. First and foremost, Amen. She leads me to her son. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, you crisscross the USA traveling around, speaking at conferences, workshops, retreats, parish missions, and we thank you for taking time with us on Spirit Mornings. It's always a treat.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always great to be on with you.
All right. And Deacon, could we ask a diaconal blessing from you for our day today?
Sure. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is Spirit Mornings, and that's the Good Book Club, heard Monday through Friday on Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.